Dombrowski, Sam Nation Talk Radio 790 KABC, and it is Wednesday, middle of the week, plowing through, taking no prisoners. 1-800-222-5222, and the email, as always, sam@samnation.com. Now, I am going to address some late-breaking developments here with the media and Trump's war on the media. I will get to that. Hold tight. I've got lots of good information for you. But I had a little, well, I'll call it a bottom-of-the-stack news story with everything else going on today that just absolutely tickled my interest. Actually, to be honest, I almost had a mini stroke when I saw this article. There's this Ruth Starkman character. She's a professor at Stanford University and a contributing writer to the Huffington Post. Is that two strikes, right? Well, you know the whole safe space movement. You understand, remember what this is all about. We've gotten so busy with the whole Russia thing that we've forgot to update you. The safe space movement is still going on. Universities, even top elite schools like Stanford, want to shelter your poor, precious babies that are going to college from the realities of real life. And you've heard what I have to say about it. It's the dumbest thing in the world. I mean, what's worse than taking a young adult in their prime formative years and denying them the opportunity to be pimp slapped by reality, by mean people, by racist people, by people with dumb ideas. And I've always said the whole premise here of safe space is that somebody has to decide what is a dumb idea, what is a mean idea, what is a racist thought. And as soon as you have people making that qualitative assessment, you're actually removing the opportunity for the young mind, the young minds full of mush, to learn how to differentiate this on their own. It's like a bird, a mama bird, you know, doing all the flying for the baby bird, and then the baby bird never learns how to fly. I mean, theoretically, right? So as part of this latest craze here now is this woman, Ruth Starkman, writes. Now this, by the way, the title is deceptive. This is why you have me, because I'm like one of those little hamsters, you know, just I'm keep burrowing with my front legs on these, just pawing my way through to the meat of the article. What are you laughing at? Picturing me as a hamster? Well, I'm sad. This is whatever animal did you see me doing the pawing motion? That's how I am when I go through these articles, you know, papers flying. And I always, so you know this, I always print everything out. I'm a paper guy. At work, everything's paperless, the computer systems, everything. But when it comes to doing show prep, I have to have paper. And the best invention ever, I got a copier that staples, or printer that staples. So I just press print and staple, and it staples it for me. So anyway, so I'm pawing through this because the title is deceptive. It's totally innocuous, pretentious, but innocuous. I'll read it to you. How to keep your competitive edge and your humanity at elite universities. Okay. You had me at hello. So I read this article. And the entire premise of it is basically telling students, don't say that your homework was easy because you might offend other students. Like that's the premise of it. You heard the white privilege thing. Have you heard about this? This is a big trending topic right now. White privilege. You're white? You live in a nice area? Never mind, it's the nice areas like Burbank that are always on fire. God, I hope everyone's okay out there. I know we're watching those developments happen, so stay safe. But you grew up wealthy, you lived in a nice neighborhood, parents had a big house. What do you know about the realities? Don't even talk. We don't even want to hear from you. And the whole idea here is that students who go to school and say, oh, gee, Mike, yeah, wasn't that assignment easy? Oh, yeah, that was easy. Oh, yeah, okay. That what you're doing is slapping around other students who are less privileged and offending them and creating a hurtful environment for them, and that it's wrong and you shouldn't do it. All right, I'm going to tell you the reason this is so important to me. I am... how old am I? I have a birthday coming up. Still 36. The kids, and they're kids to me, okay? We're treating them like children. The kids that are in college, right? Who she's writing about, this Ruth lady? She's writing about kids at Stanford. They're 18 now. When I am older and in need of a doctor, of a specialist, of a home care nurse, of a lawyer to write up my will or my estate, a government official somewhere to help me with the problem. Going to court, I'm a lawyer. I go to court. I'm, 30 years from now, I hope I'm still working. God knows that the way this country's going, I'm going to have to. So I'm going to be working, and I'm going to have a judge. I'm going to see some judge somewhere. I'm going to be dealing with opposing counsel. And that person is going to be one of these kids right now that is being trained in their formative years, surrounded by adults that are literally sabotaging them with this nonsense. I have kids, so I worry actually about my kids going through this too. My son the other day, who's got a good buddy, is particularly hits close to home, and the buddy is really into sports. His good friend Kai, and Kai goes, Daniel, let's both apply to Stanford, and we can go to Stanford together. It's like his dream, this kid's like, and Daniel's like, yeah, I'll go, yeah, no problem, yeah. I'm like, yeah, okay, good luck, boys. If you can get in, hats off to you. And I read this, every parent's dream is for their kids to go to Stanford or some top school. And look at the kind of professors that teach there. I wouldn't want this lady within a thousand feet of my kid with these ridiculous thoughts. But even if you don't have kids, if you're planning to hang around this planet for a while, I'm telling you, they're adults now. These kids are going to be real adults, legitimate working professionals. And their ideas about where they fit in this world it's going to be skewed. We're joking right here before the show. Is this doctor that goes through Stanford and listens to Ruth Starkman tell him this kind of nonsense, is he going to be too scared to trigger you that you have cancer? That's a serious question. I don't know about you, but if the test comes back with any inkling that there's a bad thing going on inside of me, I want to know. I don't care about being triggered. Lay it on me. So this article, the idea of it that you're not, you just don't know. You've had it so good. Your parents, maybe they bought a house in a fancy area and they paid a lot of property taxes and bought you a first-class education that way. Or maybe they just sent you to private school. Or they paid for extra tutoring. So don't just walk into class and tell Johnny over there, hey, Johnny. That was easy. Because Johnny could be struggling. Maybe Johnny's from the inner city. And by the way, do you know how offensive and patronizing that is? On some level, right? But I think I always run this through my own life experience. One, I did this a few times. And for the most part, I was lying through my teeth. Okay, when I said that something was easy, it wasn't. It's just what you do when you're a kid. And you realize after a while that it's kind of a douchey thing to say, and you stop doing it. Because guess what? Unless, you know, you're in some sort of, you know, little man Tate Academy, it's not cool to run around and say, oh, that was easy, that was easy, that was easy. You're not going to have any friends. You learn that because people stop hanging out with you. And pretty soon when you don't have any friends, you go, well, shoot, I shouldn't be a jerk. It's simple. See, that's how kids learn. They don't need a professor to tell them this. It's basic sociology. Let nature do its thing. But beyond that, we all are different. I thought liberals celebrate diversity. I thought, you know, with Lady Gaga, we were born this way. You know, I guess it's okay if you're gay or if you're trans or whatever it is. You know, that's all cool. You're born that way. But gosh forbid that you are born disadvantaged. And what does that really mean? Honestly, thank goodness we live in a meritocracy. And that's become a dirty word. But the reality is, I'd rather be a really, really bright student in a crappy school somewhere than being a dumb as a rock kid in a top school. I remember, this is a good example of this is for me law school. I did law school later in life, and I was a little bit limited by the geographic area of where I could go. But I remember actively thinking about my prospects for law school. And I distinctly remember, I told people this when I was applying. I said, I want to get into the best possible school. And it isn't for the glory of the degree or the prestige of the degree. It's because I wanted to be around people that were smarter than me. Because I find that motivating. If I'm next to a kid and he whizzes through a test, I don't go, oh, geez, he must be so advantaged. I think to myself, Sam, you got to study harder. And in school, I can tell you this. I have an absolutely terrible memory. It is no small miracle that I am able to do this program because I can't remember anything. I forget people's names. Like, I can't remember. I can go, for me, a nightmare is a cocktail party. There's alcohol. And I'm supposed to remember people's names. The two don't go together. And there are people that remember things the minute they read them. I'm not saying photograph, but they read something and they remember it. That is not me. When I was studying for the bar exam, I had to study harder than other people did. And you know what? It had nothing to do with the fact that I am white or that I have or do not have privilege. It has everything to do with the fact that when I came out of my mother's womb, my brain is wired a certain way. And it is frustrating. I studied with this great friend of mine. She is brilliant. And it just, she'd look at something in a rule statement and just get it and boom. But it motivated me. And thank goodness nobody coached her to say, don't brag about it. And she just would tell me, hey, this is how I do it. I'm like, wow, all right, cool. Well, motivating. Got to work harder. I got to work harder to keep up. And the craziest thing about this to me is that in this article, in the Starkman article that she writes, she actually cites, let me find this here. She cites, says, you kids, she's writing this to the kids, students, perhaps someday, one of these days, you thoughtlessly spoke to the student next to you, such as Stanford sophomore Gary Archibald Jr. Now, she immediately, because she's a liberal and a race baiter, she immediately has to qualify that somebody by the name Gary Archibald Jr. is not privileged in the classical sense. And qualifies and says he's a multilingual first-generation college student from Florida, an aspiring biomedical computational medicine major. So I think this is the Californian's way. He's from Florida. He's multilingual, first-generation college student. She's qualifying him right from the get-go. But the kid wrote a Facebook post, I guess, after he went to school, you know, started at Stanford and had kind of this, wrote this Facebook post. And he says, "I wouldn't be able to count the amount of times I heard that was easy. I learned that in high school." He writes, "It's really hard to feel like you belong when you leave your home family comfort behind just to look at the backs of people that have been set up to excel in these spaces. But," he says, "find comfort just like I do in knowing that the distance is fixed. And even when it doesn't feel like it, you're moving a lot faster than the people in front of you." See? She puts this in the article. He's not worried about it. He says the distance is fixed. And he's going to make up the difference. All right, stay tuned. There's more on this. And then, of course, the CNN stuff. Back after this. Talk Radio.
KABC.
Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KBC. And we're live from our Sweet James studios deep behind the orange curtain. 800-222-5222 is the number. Okay. You know, when we're talking this article here from the Stanford professor, don't say your homework is easy. You might offend other students if you do. And I just read that little passage. Let me just repeat this. So there, her entire idea or posit theory here is you know, you're privileged. If it's easy for you, you know, you went to a great high school, or you had tutors, or you had help, or, you know, your parents were brilliant, and you're seventh generation in college, or, you know, whatever it is, or you're white. Maybe that's just it, you know. Seriously. And so if you're like that, you know, the kid next to you, he might just not have any of those benefits, and he might be struggling, and don't say anything. I'm telling you, look at that. They're all jerk kids, students in school who, like, that was easy, piece of cake. First of all, mostly false bravado. But then you learn not to say that kind of thing because it's a douchey thing to say. It is. But at any rate, she cites this kid as an example of someone who might be overhearing it, and cites something that he put up on Facebook, where he says, "Oh, I couldn't count the number of times that I heard this," and da-da-da. And then he says, "But don't worry, I know that the distance is fixed. And that even when it doesn't feel like it, I'm catching up. I'm gonna get there. I'm gonna beat all these privileged kids." And I think that it's ironic to me that this was the best she could do, because it doesn't really establish her point. Her article wants these kids who are feeling hurt by the words of, I don't know, the bragging words of their fellow students. She's telling them, be a victim. Be victimized by this. You know, this isn't right. They're doing harm to you. Instead of telling them, hey, you know what? You just showed up at Stanford. The best, maybe the top five school in the U.S. You know what? An A is an A, a B is a B. If you want the A, you're going to have to get the A. And it might take you more work, but you know what? The victory will be that much sweeter. And that's what the kid is saying. I'm going to get there. I know I got it hard, whatever, but I'm going to get there. But how many people go through this and read articles and are told this kind of stuff and are, you know, microaggressions and safe spaces and don't hurt, tiptoe around the issues that might be a little uncomfortable? How many people walk away from that hypersensitive? You know, I said, you might not have kids. You might not have college-age kids. Your kids might be out of college. Oh, whatever. This may not, you may think this doesn't apply to you, but it does, because the products, the output of this completely nonsensical approach to training and developing young adults Those products are out among us. They're being every year. We just had graduation. June just passed. You know, it was graduation season. What do you think happened across the United States on graduation day? We adults here in the United States just got dropped on us another class of, you know, victims of sensitive, coddled youths, non-critical thinkers, easily triggered dolts. That's what we got. And these are our future doctors, lawyers, professors, judges. Yeah, it's crazy. It should truly worry you. You know where this was on display? It was on today, all over cable news. Reporters whining, literally whining about how awful Trump is being to them. You seriously, you're going to want to hear this. I've compiled a best of, and it will. There's one particular exchange that it just blow your mind. Reporters complaining. Because this is a generation of people that taught to be victims at every turn. You know who's not a victim? John Wolfe, and he's up next with the news.
KABC News live and local at 7:30. I am John Wolfe. I've had bad days and good.
Talk radio, talk radio.
790 KABC.
Oh, we're having fun. Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KBC. Okay. Did you hear this exchange yesterday? There's a White House press briefing. And in fact, I had it in my stack of stuff to get to yesterday. But, you know, it's always the fastest hour. It just flies by. So I can't get to everything. So I let it be, and it was this exchange between Sarah Huckabee Sanders is her name, and she's the deputy press secretary. She's doing a great job. I told you from the we talked about this, the get go. She's great, so much better than Sean Spicer. Oh my goodness! But any rate, she gets into a heated exchange from a Brian Karem. Now Karem, he's a journalist and a White House correspondent for Playboy magazine. So there's that. And have a listen. This is what happened yesterday during the press briefing.
Come on. You're inflaming everybody right here, right now with those words. This administration has done that as well. Why in the name of heavens? Any one of us, right, are replaceable. And any one of us, if we don't get it right, the audience has the opportunity to turn the channel or not read us.
I think you have
been elected to serve for 4 years at least. There's no option other than that. We're here to ask you questions.
Right.
You're here to provide the answers. And what you just did is inflammatory to people all over the country who look at it and say, see, once again, the president is right and everybody else out here is fake media. And everybody in this room is only trying to do their job.
Well, I disagree completely. First of all, I think if anything has been inflamed, it's the dishonesty that often takes place by the news media. And I think it is outrageous for you to accuse me of inflaming a story when I was simply trying to respond to his question.
Exactly. So this guy, okay, he gets in there, can I ask the question? What the hell is Playboy magazine doing? Covering the White? I mean, they got a, the Playboy's got a guy in the room. Not my thing. But I guess they do some serious journalism. Robbie, do I ask you about this? The guy, by the way, he's got the nastiest little porn stash there ever was. The guy looks dirty. And just on a funny side note here, the hilarious thing here is the Washington Post ran a story about this, and they give a quote and they describe Karem, executive director of two Maryland newspapers. So they're totally obscuring the fact of who he actually writes for. as a side note. But this whole argument here is, remember what happened yesterday? Remember how it was clear on tape as the day is bright and the night is long that CNN is dragging out this Trump-Russia narrative story just because they need ratings. That they know from the CEO on down that it's total nonsense. There's nothing to it. And they're just digging for digging's sake. And they know that running an anti-Trump message is good for them. And so it's against this backdrop that Huckabee Sanders is fighting back, and then he tackles her with this, why are you attacking the media? Why are you attacking us? There's poor media. We didn't do anything. This is a First Amendment. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And then actually makes the case, in light of, mind you, there's a congressman who is recovering from life-threatening injuries sustained at the hands of a deranged, but this is important, inflamed guy reading mainstream media reports about how horrible Trump is and what a disgrace Trump is and what a traitor Trump is. And he decides he's going to go to a park, chase down congressmen and shoot and kill them so that he can save our republic. And this reporter has the huevos to come in there from a Playboy of all things and chastise freaking the press secretary here over this. Oh, but we're going to get hurt. We're going to get hurt. Okay, stay tuned. There's a lot more on this. Back after this.
Talk Radio. 790.
KABC.
You know him. I know him. He's attorney Sweet James Bergner. He was telling me today that he got a call from a concerned mother calling for her daughter, and daughter had been in an accident, had been hit by a DUI driver, but their family didn't have any health insurance. They were worried about that. And Sweet James said, oh, it's no problem. We can get you taken care of. We can get you a doctor. We can find somebody that won't charge you any money until at the end of the case. You don't need health insurance. And it was such a tremendous relief because this family thought that there was no alternative. There was nothing there they could do. I mean, they just would have to be in pain and they couldn't go to the doctor, would have to go to the ER. Guess Obamacare isn't working that great for them. Well, anyway, Sweet James, he took care of it, gave him an answer, and that one little answer is leading to immediate relief. She's able to go to the doctor. The family's, her and her mother's and her father's stress is down. And that's the kind of result that you get when you get the right kind of help. If you've got any kind of injury, accident, call Sweet James Bergner. He's the lawyer we trust here on the program. He's got an easy-to-remember number, 800-881-2021, 1-800-881-2021. Or visit his website, sweetjames.com. See, even I can remember his number. I was telling you earlier how bad my memory is. Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation, back behind the Sam Nation microphone, having lots and lots of good times here with you, talking about this exchange yesterday that happened with Sarah Huckabee Sanders and a guy named Brian Karem. Now, what happened was basically he's saying, you guys are inflaming the media. You're doing all this stuff. And today, CNN had this amazing exchange on Clarissa Ward talking with Chris Cuomo on New Day, a show on CNN. And she's talking about how this inflammatory rhetoric from the Trump campaign, from the Trump people, from the Trump president, it's out of control. Reporters are in danger. Listen to this.
I mean, at what point does this become dangerous? And I'm not just talking about dangerous in terms of tearing at the social fabric. I'm talking about dangerous as in a journalist gets hurt. Because I can tell you, working overseas in war zones, you know, people are emboldened by the actions of this administration, emboldened by the all-out sort of declaration of war on the media. If I'm getting it in the neck, Chris, I can only imagine what someone like you is dealing with. At what point does this become reckless or irresponsible?
Being a reporter anywhere near the Trump White House is worse than being in a war zone. Are you freaking serious? Is this... Are we relying on these people to report the news? These people are brain-dead idiots. And can I make another very important point? Please. Look. Didn't they bring this on themselves? I mean, these are the people. This is CNN. These are the exact loathsome human beings who went to journalism school, were taught principles of how to be a journalist and, you know, and to do the fairness thing and check your facts, and are so totally consumed by Trump rage that they are spewing out nonsense information in an effort to poison this country against Trump. That is exactly what's happening. And now they're the victims. They're the ones whining to you and I and the other, I don't know, three other people that are listening to this nonsense. This is so dangerous now being a reporter. I mean, this is just beyond the pale. How can they do this to us? Yeah, Trump isn't saying, he's not up there saying, go shoot these reporters. He's telling them, you guys are fake news. You guys are fake news. You guys are nonsense. You're not worth the paper you're printed on. How is that inflammatory? I don't get it. Maybe you ought to focus on being fair. Now, of course, the president, you know, their argument, and I'll play it here next when we come back, is that their argument is, well, you just want what's flattering. You just want what's flattering. And there's a very important retort to that. Don't go anywhere.
Say, what is this? You know what it is.
790-790-790-790. KABC.
Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation, we're back. Okay, now, let me say this. So the retort from the media is to all of this, these fake news, it's, you know, Trump's fighting back. And it's like we talked about yesterday. I think initially when this started out, I didn't think it was going to be a winning strategy. I don't see taking on the entire news media when you have to win a presidential campaign, because this dates back all the way to the summer of 2016. I don't see that as being a particularly fruitful exercise. And at the time, I thought it was just dumb. But, you know, I've got to tell you, he's winning this war because CNN has egg all over its face. I mean, the latest with Van Jones, they got Van Jones on tape admitting it was it's just a nothing burger. And he's been reporting on the story. Yesterday, CNN kind of dismissed this. He's a medical editor. You know, he's a guy who's producing some medical stuff. He's not affiliated with the Trump-Russia thing. This is Van Jones. He's one of the faces of the Trump-Russia story. And he's like, nah, it's a nothing burger. It's nothing there. It's on tape. So CNN's got a lot of problems right now. And they're on the defensive. And the president's gotten there. It's remarkable jiu-jitsu. It's actually a good analogy. Because jiu-jitsu, the whole objective is you can topple a larger opponent by leveraging certain assets. So that's what's happening here. And their answer to this is, well, Trump just doesn't like bad press. And this is Chris Saliza talking on New Day with Clarissa Ward. And here's what he says.
In Donald Trump's world, the media is judged by you are good if you write things that are good for Donald Trump. You are objectively bad if you criticize Donald Trump. It is not our job to be liked by Donald Trump. It is not our job to report the news. Sean Spicer said this. Sarah said it yesterday. Well, you guys ignore the news that's important. Well, you know, I mean, I do think the Russian hacking of an election, the Russian hacking of an election is important news.
Right.
Yeah. Are you out of your gourd, Chris? You got everybody at the net. Everybody in you're in CNN headquarters. What's been going on in the last 48 hours, you dolt? God, this whole thing's falling apart. And Russia hacking of the election. How many times, how many people from the Obama administration have to go under oath and explain to you, moron, that no hacking of the election occurred. No votes were changed. No voting machines were tampered with. That's what is a hacking of an election. You're a journalist. I assume you speak English. I mean, this makes me so mad. And by the way, in substance, the first part of what he's saying is true in the sense that it's not their job to have Donald Trump like what they say or to be liked by Donald Trump. But that was totally lost on me, okay? Totally lost. 8 years of Obama. These guys were fawning over him and kissing his rear end. And you think Obama gave access to Breitbart News? And you think he was, oh yeah, Breitbart News and Drudge and why don't you all come in and... No, he was actively calling these guys right-wing, dismissing them, trashing them, only because he didn't like them. This is such a load of crap. All right, back tomorrow at 7 for more. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KBC.
Talk Radio, 790
KABC.